It's Art Month in Sydney, celebrating contemporary art with events all across the city right through until the end of March. This year, more than 90 galleries are taking part in one of the biggest programmes to date. Art Month was created 10 years ago when the commercial art market was in a slump and galleries were struggling. So from 2009, how are things looking in 2019? Let's find out. Michael Reed is one of the co-founders of Art Month. He also runs Michael Reed Galleries in Sydney and Berlin. And Roslyn Oxley is the co-owner and operator of Roslyn Oxley 9. She has been since 1982. And Sky O'Meara is the manager of one of the newest galleries, the APY Art Centre Collective Gallery, opened just a year ago in Sydney. Thank you all so much for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Michael, it's Art Month in Sydney, and why did you start up Art Month 10 years ago?
10 years ago, it was obvious that we were heading into quite a serious long-term recession or downturn. And I spoke with a colleague and a friend of ours called Vasily Kalaman, and I said, look, this is going to be really, really quiet, and we need to combat that quiet by being really, really loud. And the other thing is we need to actually come together as a group and inform the world, really, how important the arts is to Sydney, but how creative we are as a group. I mean, art dealers collectively manage the careers of literally hundreds and hundreds of artists. And as an industry, we're incredibly creative people. So I thought it was really important during what was going to be quite a deep recession worldwide and, you know, a downturn in Australia, that we come together and speak loudly and be heard, you know, in what was going to be a very dark time.
And how has it evolved since 2009?
It's got more professional in the management, I can tell you. It was pretty loose and fast in the first couple of days.
That's quite an admission, Michael.
Yeah. Look, it's got a lot more organised. I think it was bringing on an entire industry and trying to kind of communicate what we were doing amongst ourselves. I mean, it is a bit like herding cats dealing with art dealers. And I think we're now much more focused on what we do. We're much more collegiate and we're much more organised. So the visual punch that we have is more mature. It's incredibly far-reaching. And I think it's enabled us now to have a very diverse and interesting programme.
Yeah. And Roslyn Oxley, the co-owner and operator of Roslyn Oxley 9, where do you think Art Month fits into this busy schedule? Because, I mean, Sydney, it's incredibly busy, isn't it, with national events, international events?
It's not a big problem, really. You just organise talks, I guess, and, you know, you're open one night a week or maybe more. Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of vitality in the whole event.
Now, Sky O'Meara, Sky, the manager of one of the newest galleries, the APY Art Centre Collective Gallery, opened just a year ago. Sky, you're this new gallery, you're on the scene. So how important is Art Month for you as a new gallery?
We're 12 months in. It's a really exciting time. And the thing that just rang true for me that Michael was talking about was being proactive. The APY Art Centre Collective Gallery represents 11 different member Indigenous organisations that are in a very remote part of Australia who have come together to create new market opportunities, largely focused around profiling the work of young and emerging artists. A part of the Indigenous art market that's been historically missing is the ARI space, so artist-run initiatives, which play a really incredibly important role for recent graduates of art school and, you know, to support up-and-coming talent into their next step of more strategic representation.
Yes.
So this is post-GFC when Michael was talking about this terrible time where things were falling apart. We were absolutely experiencing that in the Indigenous art market. Mm. There were other issues that made this period incredibly fraught.
Now, just going backwards a little bit, for people who aren't familiar with the relationship between artists and gallerists, commercial galleries representing individual artists, what does that actually mean, Michael?
Good point, because things change dramatically over time. I think once upon a time in the 60s and 70s, it meant kind of cradle-to-grave association. Today, I think it means more like a Venn diagram where I do what I do, you do what you do, and if we come together in that joining bit in the middle, we do something together. But there's no doubt, whatever we do, in my opinion, art galleries amplify the message of the artist. It is my job to shout very loudly about the artists and the artworks that my artists, that my gallery represent.
Yes, you're completely right.
Rosalind, you've represented some very famous artists, haven't you? Patricia Piccinini, Del Catherine Barton, Tracy Moffat.
Yes.
Imance Tillers.
Yes. I know. It's brilliant. And they keep on pushing, you know, they keep on doing what they do and they keep on getting, you know, I mean, the opportunities keep on opening up, which is fantastic. And the gallery helps enormously with all of these opportunities, yeah. No matter what it is. You know, the gallery is a real support.
Can an artist make it without a gallerist?
It's we were talking earlier about this disconnection between the Indigenous art market and the broader art market. The APY Art Centres and a lot of Indigenous communities that represent some brilliantly talented artists are looking to be more connected, are looking to foster opportunities and connect with the calibre of representation that's in this room with me today. And this has eluded us for a long time, eluded a lot of Indigenous artists having really brilliant and strategic representation. I would say that representation is absolutely key to the success of artists, absolutely fundamental.
Mm. I'd like to think not, because I think artists should have the own energy to do their own thing. I'm struggling to think of an artist that has done that, but I'm sure that they're out there and I just haven't thought of them. What do you think, Rosalind?
Receiving invitations or answering email, etc., artists are really bad. Really, really bad. So they're not concerned with that. They're not concerned with any administrative thing.
Yeah.
So we do it all for them. Yeah. And, you know, we have to remind them when we send images and we really, you know.
But how it's the business. It's the business of it as well. I would say that artists and Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists need someone strong to advocate for them, not only for opportunities, but to have their work priced correctly, to support them to make the connections. I mean, some artists do their own best marketing because they're gorgeous big personalities. And then there's other artists that are very withdrawn individuals that only want to spend time in their studio. And that's their way of communicating with the world.
Yeah.
So those artists in particular need someone that can advocate
can
on their
them
behalf.
Out into
that's
the world.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still like to think there's an opportunity in this new world that an artist can create their own career and manage their own career in particularly social media. But the difficult thing is that from my experience, you know, being liked on Instagram is like being rich at Monopoly. You know, you can actually be followed by hundreds of thousands of people, but it doesn't mean that there'll be the right people who'll buy from you.
Yeah.
And our job is to focus on people who spend money.
Can I ask you also about gender equality? Because I know that the percentage of women of artists who leave art school, the percentage of women then represented at gallerists, I'm hearing time and time again, that percentage has dropped down significantly. Why is that?
Well, I tell you, we have always had, unconsciously, 50-50. Mm. And we counted them up the other day. We had one more woman than man. Mm. Yeah. And that has been really consistent.
I'm Ed Ayres and you're listening to The Art Show on RN on podcast. And we're talking today about the art market in Australia. My guests are Michael Reed, Rosalind Oxley and Skye O'Meara. Now, Skye, one of the Indigenous artists and ambassadors you work with is Sally Scales. She's on the board and staff of the APY Art Centre Collective Gallery, which you manage. And it opened just 12 months ago. It exhibits art from the APY lands. So I've got a grab here from Sally explaining why she thinks the new gallery was needed to support young artists. Here she is.
You know, if you look at the top tier Aboriginal artists, it's taken a long time for that artist to break in. And unfortunately, you know, not just APY artists, they're at a sort of similar age bracket and they only have their peak for 10 years, you know, before unfortunately they pass away. And people forget that Aboriginal people have a lower life expectancy. And for an avenue for an Aboriginal artist, there's only a few spaces where they're shown or celebrated. And for even an artist to enter into those things, it takes a long time. It's sort of like you have to also be over a certain age bracket. And if you're a young, emerging artist, how do you have a space in there?
Sally Scales from the APOI Arts Centre Collective. So, Sky, there's clearly an added layer of difficulty for Indigenous artists having their work seen.
Yes, there is. I mean, there's challenges there. There's challenges from being based remote. I mean, technology is changing that. Social media, we're absolutely very engaged in using our social media platforms to communicate messages and show new talent. But yeah, there's a range of challenges that affect Indigenous artists. And what Sally spoke about there with a very different life expectancy for most Indigenous artists, there's also the social challenge that exists in community, and the fact that the art centres on the APY lands are the only source of non-government income, the only real jobs in community, and what the value they have for community is vastly different. So that's why we have to be proactive. We have to have more agency in our marketplace.
So, Sky, what do you think about some ideas expressed by major artists like Vernon Arkey, Richard Bell? You are a white person working in the Indigenous art world. Vernon Arkey and Richard Bell, they say that the art industry is a white construct and that Indigenous art is effectively controlled by white people. What do you think about that? What do you say to that?
I would say that the directors of the APY Art Centre Collective and the elders that I work for would have a very strong argument against that, and it only takes 15 minutes to be witness to the elders in the room and their engagement with myself and the other non-Indigenous, very fortunate and privileged non-Indigenous staff, but they get us working hard, and so we should. It's very important work. When you spoke before about the women, the representation of women, the APY Art Centres was started 71 years ago in Ernabella community by a group of women. Each one of the art centres is driven by a group of elders, largely women in their community, and their focus is keeping culture alive and that intergenerational exchange of culture, where the art centres are places where culture is celebrated and instructed daily. So I think that Richard Bell and Vernon Arkey are underestimating the empowered place that the elders are working from.
Yeah.
And I think that all that you have to do is see artists from the APY lands like Mike Williams and Robert Fielding and Vincent Namajira. These are new artists that are working with political voice that is absolutely as strong as Richard and Vernon, who are both brilliant artists. But the work that's coming from Western Desert communities has changed a lot in the last 20 years. And I would say it's a very exciting time because it's highly innovative. There's a range of different voices. There's a range of different storytelling. And this is reflective of the empowered place that artists and elders are working from.
Well, let's talk now a little bit about the actual numbers. So the ANU professor, Sasha Grishin, wrote in a 2015 article in The Conversation that the number of commercial galleries in Australia has roughly halved over the past couple of decades. Michael, is that what you've seen?
More than that, probably in the last 8 years. Mm. I haven't got the statistics right in front of me, but the Western Australian art market was decimated. I mean, I think in the last 8 years, they've probably gone from 12 or 13 galleries to 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm rude, if I missed someone out in Western Australia, but there's
Michael,
been a massive collapse in Western Australia.
Totally in Western Australia. Mm. But when you look around Sydney, people like Waters have gone out of business because they've been in business for 50 years or something. Mm. But there are so many new young galleries coming up.
I think Rosin's spot on. I think in a sense, yes, the numbers have dropped recently in the last 8 years, but there has been a lot of green shoots happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, there is a lot of movement at the grassroots level, and I think we'll see some more galleries come back.
And what's the difference with these young galleries as opposed to the more established galleries? How are they different?
Well, they've got the advantage of being new and young, and their contacts are new and young as well.
I also think that their overheads are lower, and they're doing things in more social kind of outreach through social media.
Why are their overheads lower?
Because they generally, the spaces are smaller.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Roslyn not in has, such popular places in
absolutely.
Sydney.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a physicality of dealing with, say, Sydney real estate, where, you know, Roslyn's in the epicentre in both size and position, and I'm in Surry Hills, and I'm, you know, 285 squares or something like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the small galleries are 50, 60, 70 squares in places that are not the epicentre, because you don't need to be in the epicentre.
So were they working more online with
Yes,
through
working more
art?
Online. Yeah. And I think they've got different strategies. Like Roslyn and I, particularly Roslyn, is very established. We can only work, in a sense, as much as we'd like to, otherwise, with very established artists, because our overheads are high. But these younger galleries, they often have programs where they might work with artists who are particularly not represented and only work until that artist becomes represented. So they're using different strategies in smaller spaces, in different environments.
From each of you, I wondered whether briefly you could just say how you see the way forward for an artist. Let's say there's an artist just leaving art school now. How are they going to get their work seen?
We look at people who have the energy to do things for themselves. So the work's obviously of paramount importance, but also their professional conduct and the way they interface with the world is so important. Gone are the days, I think, an artist can live in a studio, produce a body of work, and that's their job.
Yeah.
And as my job has changed and is much broader, their job is now engagement and speaking on behalf of their work. So we will look at artists who we can help because they help themselves.
I agree with that. Yep. I agree. It's really important that artists step up and do come into the gallery and can speak about their own work.
Thank you, Roslyn. You know, and what about you, Skye?
Look, so our art school is the art centre. So kids in the community school learn under their grandmothers and grandfathers, and then they come and have, now they'll come and have their first shows at our Sydney gallery. We're opening a second space in Adelaide to support these artists. I absolutely agree with what the National Art School is doing. It's really creating those pathways into a life as a successful artist. And I think the best artists, and this is Indigenous and non-Indigenous, the best artists I know live like successful artists before they are successful artists.
Yes.
they present themselves in that way, and they operate with that committed focus that comes with being a successful artist.
Now, final question for all of you, maybe starting with you, Skye. How much is the art economy inextricably linked to the broader economy?
Oh, I think it absolutely is. I think that's why you can't, you have to be proactive. I'm going back to where Michael started today with the Art Month existing as a proactive strategy to control the impact of the GFC. Now, yeah. I didn't know that before today, I'm ashamed to say, but that's the focus of every strategy that we're employing through our gallery. And for us, the need is always framed with a sense of urgency because of the social disadvantage where the artists live. But I think to think that the arts environment lives in a bubble is just absolutely unrealistic. And artists, like everyone else, need to be paid to stay in it.
Goodness, yes.
Michael, how's it looking in 2019?
2019, well, the economy and the art market is lockstep, there's absolutely no doubt. And they're kind of macro or very large influences. And at the moment, we've got, right now, two elections we're facing down. We're facing down Brexit and the world economy and China. And these things might seem distant from Australia, but I can assure you they affect every single day in every single way. So there's a kind of a macro level that we have to watch all the time. And then there's a kind of micro indicators.
Yeah.
I think if we can get through this two elections, and we're lucky because, you know, politically, whatever you think.
So you're talking about the New South Wales elections and then the federal election.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have absolutely a huge effect on the psychology of spending.
Yeah.
If we can get through that, if Brexit in the next couple of days can be worked through or massaged one way or the other, and if China and America can actually come to some form of accommodation, really very, very quickly, the world can turn.
Oh, yes.
As the Americans would say, we can pivot, you know, really quickly. I think 2019 is going to be a very strong year. We're just going to have a very hard couple of months. And as members of the industry, we've just, and artists, all of us, gang, We just got to grind our way through it because there are greener fields.
Okay, I'm in.
Well, thank you. Thank you all so much for coming into the studio and doing a little bit of grinding here on RN.
Thank you,
Skye O'Meara, the manager of the APY Art Centre Collective, Roslyn Oxley of Roslyn Oxley 9, and Michael Reed of Michael Reed Galleries and co-founder of Art Month. Thank you for all for your time. And Art Month is on until the 30th of March. You can go to our website to find out more.